For coming, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. Bill, would you start us, please?
I will. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming today. Introduce our board to you. To my right is Mr. Bill Massey, Forestville. To my left is Jeff Hales from Eureka. And to the far left is Mr. John Corbett from McKinleyville. I'm David Noren. Mr. Matt St. John, can you please introduce staff?
Yes, good morning. Matt St. John, Executive Officer. With me at the table here is Samantha Olson, staff attorney. Our sixth assistant executive officer, Luis Rivera, is on a well-deserved vacation. Across from me, our administrative staff, who run the show, help make this show happen. We have Patty Corsi, Terry Carell, and Elena Franceschi. Elena will be on sound, and so for any board members or public, if she needs you to speak closer into the mic, that's why she'll be making little signals to you. We've got a variety of staff. In the audience will be introduced when they come up, and we're pleased today to have our state board liaison, Steve Moore, here with us, who you'll meet in a minute.
Thank you. I'd remind folks, if anybody wants to speak on an item today, we have speaker cards, and just get them over to Patty, and we'll get in the queue. At this time, ex parte communication disclosure from regional board members to identify any discussions they may have had outside of our regular meetings.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
I attended a ag waiver meeting, a workshop, a Shasta meeting, Shasta waiver meeting, and a Scott waiver meeting, and I have had several conversations with state and federal elected officials regarding sewers.
Fantastic. Mr. Hale.
I attended the same workshop as Mr. Massey for Shasta and Scott River.
Fantastic, and as did I. So, all right. Can I ask Steve Moore to come and introduce himself and tell us the goings-on of State Board?
Thank you, Chair Noren, and honorable members of the board. I'm Stephen Moore. I'm a recent appointee to the State Water Resources Control Board. But I haven't been confirmed by the Senate yet, so I'll be on my best behavior. a little about myself before we get into the liaison report, since you may be curious. I actually was a regional board member like yourselves for over 4 years at your neighbor to the south, Region 2, San Francisco Bay Region. I also have about half of my career in the private sector, working as both a civil engineer, but also I had a hat as a biologist doing CEQA work early in my career, and about 10 years of experience working as staff to the regional board in planning and also in permitting, both wetlands and NPDES permitting. So actually in my history with the North Coast region, is not real dense, but I did partner when I was in basin planning. I partnered with Lauren Clyde of your staff in basin planning, as well as the late Honorable Ranjit Gill, and we put together a proposal with EPA to work on wetlands and riparian protection, insofar as just linking it to our existing authorities within the Port of Cologne Act. And that work continues. Ben Livesey works at Region 2 as an ABAG contractor, Association of Bay Area Governments. So I hope that's still an arrangement that's working out well for the North Coast region. It's an important issue. And it relates to our 401 certification authority and something that as far as a state board, there is activity in our long list of priorities to work on clarifying the wetlands program with 401 certifications and 404 Army Corps of Engineer permits and that sort of thing. So that's something that I have some staff history in and knowledge of, and hope to continue to, you know, help that work along, and really with an eye toward making the system very transparent and, you know, working for everyone who has to deal with that regulatory program, both stakeholders and staff. So taking a step back, I want to, in my introduction, just pass along the good words and good wishes of Tam Doduk, your previous liaison. You know, she's really honored to have served as your liaison. It was, she didn't let go of this opportunity very easily. I had to coax her along. And just, she wanted you to know that she's still at the State Water Board and available in case I'm really screwing things up. You can always go to Tam, you know, to let her know. But anyway, let me just say it is a great honor to me to be your liaison. The Great North Coast region is a really important part of the state, and I consider myself very fortunate to work with you on the unique issues here. And besides, if you're on the State Water Board, what region would you go to really find water? So, but all joking aside, it's a great fit for me personally. I hope it works out really great for us moving forward. So, anyway, any questions about that, or I can keep moving on with my liaison report?
Please. Okay.
Well, my plan in doing liaison reports is to generally go over any budget issues that may be, you know, kind of current, what we've recently worked on at the State Board, and what we're currently working on, and what's upcoming at the State Board that would be interest to this region. And then finally, any interesting legislative issues that you may have interest in. So quickly, we'll do the bad news, good news. The bad news, the budget side. Well, as you know, probably by now, the Department of Finance, you know, considers the state to be in a continuing fiscal crisis. So the addition of positions will continue to be limited. And all the state and regional board divisions will be constrained to redirecting existing positions, and any expansion of existing programs will be heavily scrutinized by Cal EPA. And as you also probably know, I guess you haven't met since June, so there is some, you know, news to this, that it's official that state water board members and staff have taken a 5% pay reduction. And this is implemented by one furlough day a month. Actually, not for board members, though. We still have to work every day. But, or we have to be available every day. But for this fiscal year, so it does end June 30th, 2013, this 5% reduction. Okay, but it's implemented through furlough day. Okay, now let's move on to more interesting things. You know, recently I thought I'd mention that in my first or second board meeting in June, we authorized Prop 50 coastal non-point source funds for swamp-style monitoring in areas of special biological significance. So that kind of that relates to the North Coast region, has many of these ASBS designations along the coast of the North Coast region. And with the ASBS designation, the beneficial use, there are more restrictive requirements that are implemented through the ocean plan that the state board sets up. And so this authorization of Prop 50 funds, yes, there were some Prop 50 funds left, believe it or not. This is concurrent with a recently adopted resolution that the state board issued that grants exceptions to a prohibition of discharge in the ocean plan into these ASBS sites. So there's a very strict requirement in the ocean plan that you can't discharge pollutants into an ASBS. It's one of the most stringent programs in the whole water board system. But you have these cities that have grown up around these ASBSs, right? So what do you do? You know, well, I know in the region, too, we have some strict requirements in our basin, or their basin plan. Excuse me, I'm not there anymore. and so what we do is we set up a system of exceptions to those prohibitions. And so in March of this year, you know, the program was enacted before I was on the State Water Board. But, you know, example here is the Trinidad Head area in the town of Trinidad up there. So a total of 27 entities have applied for the exception to the prohibition throughout the state. So, you know, from San Diego to Oregon. And there's monitoring required as a part of the prohibition exception. See, that's the key. That's the connection here. So what we did was we made these funds available to communities through Prop 50 to meet these stringent requirements for monitoring. As you know, and as I've learned, you know, monitoring is often a very controversial part of these programs. And so we're trying as the state board to make some funds available to meet these requirements. I thought you may be interested in some of these details as far as what I'm actually learning as a state board member and the type of work we're doing. You know, along the same lines, yesterday we had a board workshop on ocean plan issues. And one of the issues we took up was the model monitoring requirements that hasn't been adopted. These proposals have been revised once and are now taking comment and will be considered for adoption in October. That's for kind of the baseline ocean plan monitoring requirements. And another issue related, and it also relates to the Marine Protection Act and the marine protection areas. I'm not sure how familiar you are with this. This is something I'm kind of getting up to speed on myself. But what's being contemplated in the ocean plan is kind of an intermediate level of protection between the minimum ocean plan requirements, which the model monitoring I talked about would fit under, and then that higher level of protection at the ASBS. And then, so what's being contemplated is this sort of intermediate level of protection for a concept known as the surface water quality a state water quality protection area, SWQPA, state water quality protection area. Where did this idea come from? Well, it's linked to this MLPA, the act that was enacted. It's a state law that established marine conservation areas, marine parks, marine reserves. And so there's a requirement for the state board to connect to this system. And so the proposal through the ocean plan is this intermediate level. You know, there's the ASBS, which is all those very strict requirements, the ocean plan, and then this middle level, which is a state water quality protection area. What we talked about yesterday at this workshop was, what are the criteria we use to establish these intermediate level? And what are some of the implications of that? So it gets detailed. But this is the idea that if you've got a marine reserve, it's likely that the state board, through working with the regions, would recommend that that area become a state water quality protection area, and that kind of thing. So we haven't made any designations, but we're setting up the criteria by which we make the designation for this intermediate level. So I thought that'd be of interest. Yes.
Oh, Mr. Corbett.
Just two quick comments. First, the regional board's already done its chores on the pay cut back, since we haven't gotten a raise since 1972 compared to others in the state, just as a historical note.
Oh, good, yes.
but I regarding the MLPA, especially in the extreme northwest of California, identifying Humboldt and Del Norte County, there could very well be significant tribal jurisdictional issues, and I would advise consultation immediately, because it's an extremely controversial program in that area. Okay. And I certainly think Smith River would challenge your authority to limit their discharges, even though they don't have a treatment as a state status. Uh-huh. But
Yeah, good. And I mean, that's a good example of how, you know, you set up the criteria and then you go through the process of actually selecting sites that become SWQPA.
Yeah. And one of the other problems in the North Coast is they, in the MLPA process, do not consider natural reserves. And natural reserves would be defined, you can't get to it adequately by boat, by foot, by car, due to topography, lack of access. And that was not considered in the process, too. So probably in the north, extreme northwest, some of the most pristine areas are not in the reserves.
Right. You know, and that's good. I mean, that's a good insight into you know, what's ahead, you know, in terms of the type of issues that need to be carefully considered. Thank you.
And I'm not criticizing the state board effort. No. I'm more just trying to inform the issues. So.
It is good. I appreciate it. Actually, I welcome that kind of interaction. It's that those kind of comments do circulate back. Yeah, it's good. That's the liaison function. I'm two-way. So that's good. And then I thought you might, the board may be interested in a recent report, contaminants in sport fish along the California coast. The Surface Water Ambient Monitoring Program, SWAMP, which was the acronym I used earlier, released findings of the largest ever statewide survey of contaminants in sport fish along the California coast. And so that's, you know, on our State Water Board website. And I just, you know, we've done a lot of fish tissue work in different parts of the state, reservoirs, estuaries. This is the first real coastal analysis, coastal report. So I think it's worthy of note. It represents new data that was focused on North Coast and Central Coast in 2010. Combined with results from 2009, we really now for the first time have a better comprehensive assessment. So I think this is of interest to the regional boards because it helps. It's valuable in prioritizing areas, certainly for further study, but also can support the development of consumption guidelines and cleanup plans. And, you know, maybe most importantly, provide information the public can use to be better informed about the degree of contamination at popular fishing locations. So switching gears a little, there, you know, the State Board has a lot going on that is of great interest to the regions and certainly North Coast region. And the general stormwater permits that we're considering now have a large impact in this region. And right now, we've had public hearings, public workshops on the Caltrans general NPDES permit, as well as the small MS4, we call it, the municipal separate storm or separate sewer system permit, which is for the communities between 10,000 and 100,000 people. So that really brings in a lot of the North Coast urban runoff issues within towns and cities. Really, I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's outside of Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the SC and Squaws, the Sonoma County Water Agency. It really, the phase two permit, as we call it, covers a lot of the urban areas in this region. So we had comment from stakeholders in this region as part of that workshop. We also did a lot of, before the State Board workshop, there was a lot of outreach with staff going to different communities. I believe Santa Rosa was one of them. And so it went fine. And we're have the stormwater permits queued up for action in a couple months in October. And one of the issues brought up that's being discussed was the Ninth Circuit Court decision that interpreted the State Water Board's receiving water and water quality standards language as being more stringent or more strict than the State Water Board intended in its, precedential resolution of earlier, in, I think, 2003. So it's a controversial issue of causing or contributing to the exceedance of water quality standards in the receiving water in urban areas. It's very controversial because of the language and whether that holds permittee liable for meeting standards now versus in an iterative process of eventually meeting standards. And so that's the crux of the controversy. So state water board staff and the board acknowledged that it would be worthwhile to have a workshop to discuss this language because of the different interpretation in the Ninth Circuit Court. So right now the issue is, does the workshop happen before or after we adopt the permits? And so it's an item of high interest statewide and certainly in this region. So that we're looking at how, when we schedule that workshop. So that's of interest. There's the on-site waste treatment systems or the septic systems policy. You know, we've received, let's say, substantial public input over a decade of work. And I came in my first month of being a board member, we actually adopted the policy. So it was kind of, you know, I felt almost sheepish of even casting a vote. But it was a good effort. And I think part of its success was structuring the policy in a tiered approach, you know, where it wasn't to use a cliche one size fits all kind of thing, which would got staff, I think, you know, editorially, I think, in a little trouble by being a little too general early on. So it was a more specific. It focused priorities, it really recognized the successful model, I think, of a local agency implementation of septic system oversight, something in the Bay Area that has been done successfully since the 60s, but not necessarily everywhere in the state. And so there's always, with something new, a lot of controversy. And in the end, it's not in effect yet. This policy for on-site waste treatment systems has to be approved by the Office of Administrative Law before entering its implementation phase. But it is on its way, and it will there will be implementation issues. we have the acronym LAMP, which is the Local Agency Management Program. We always come up with new acronyms, it seems. So at any rate, we are working a lot on Bay Delta issues. A lot of my time is going to be spent on workshops on looking at the State Water Board's water quality control plan for the Bay Delta and how it dovetails with the Bay Delta Conservation Plan. Now, I know that isn't in this region, but it is of statewide interest, and it will take up your state board member liaison's time a bit. But I won't let it, eat me alive. No way. You know, there's plenty of work to do throughout the state besides the Bay Delta. We did, in July, adopt an amendment to the construction general stormwater permit. There was a court case last December that mandated, you know, by writ of mandate that the state board had to remove numeric effluent limitations for the runoff discharges from high risk sites. There's still numeric effluent limits for advanced treatment systems for sediment removal because they are discrete treatment units. So that's been kept in the construction general permit for stormwater runoff. But the runoff still has triggers for action that, you know, such as receiving water monitoring and that sort of thing. But the enforceable the effluent limits have, as of July, been removed from the construction general permit. You know, since this board last met, we had a new fiscal year. Happy new fiscal year. And we have the budget trailer bill, which I'm sure you've read about and perhaps discussed. But it was significant. It was the first time, you know, the regional board membership has been addressed in many years. The governor and others were interested and were successful in changing the composition of regional boards from 9 members to 7 members. And as far as statewide goes, there were enough vacancies on regional boards where that didn't have an effect at all, except for in Los Angeles, Region 4. And you hear about, these changes and is there controversy about it and that sort of thing, or what does it mean? And, you know, I think it probably dawned on everyone here that works in the system how important this is as far as having a quorum. Look, there's four people here, and it's a quorum. So we can have a meeting, and we can potentially, as an overall organization, be more efficient in addressing items that are coming before us in a timely manner. So by having a quorum of four, that's not only just have meetings, but it's also to act on items specifically versus a quorum of five. So there were some other things as far as the specific slots, if you will, or, you know, positions on the regional boards are now not obliged to have a certain, category. We used to have the water quality spots and the different industrial water use, et cetera. Now there's supposed to be one public member, and then the rest of the makeup of the regional boards are supposed to have a reasonable range of these disciplines represented. But on the one hand, it concerns some people about is this going to bias regional board, appointments? But, having been a regional board appointee and gone through that process, I really do believe that it's going to open up, and others do as well, that it's going to open up the flexibility to get qualified members on. Because I might have been more qualified under water quality. I happen to have an industrial water client, so I was able to, be appointed that way. Really, it was almost a way for me not to get on the board as opposed to get on the board. Hopefully it's been a good thing. I don't know. So that was really the legislation that affected us directly. Water recycling, there was an AB 2398 that was looking to move water recycling from the water code into the public health code. This is water reuse. The organization statewide that was kind of sponsoring that or working on that, they pulled that for more work just to work out some of that. Because it's kind of a profound shift if that were to be enacted. And so I think AB 2398 on water recycling is one to watch in the coming year. And with that, thank you again. I hope I didn't take up too much of your long calendar today, but I wanted to give you a kind of a glimpse into some of the recent work and what's coming up at the State Water Board.
Steve, thank you very much for coming. We look forward to working with you in the future and bringing not only your knowledge, but the State Board expertise and their staff to some of our issues as well. We also want to extend our thanks to Tam as well. Tam was an excellent liaison for us for many years, and it's an important position for us to know what is happening. I appreciate your information today.
Yeah, just a few brief comments. If I could get the name of the Ninth Circuit court case, then it'd be easier to look up. And then I did want to say that they've kicked around for 20 years lowering the numbers on the regional board, and regional boards in the Dickey Act had to represent the interests. Then it got associated with the interests in the Port of Cologne, and I actually think this legislative formulation is a better way of saying what they wanted to do in the original Port of Cologne Act. So congratulations on a many-year effort.
Well, it wasn't mine, but yeah.
And a very informative report, which I really appreciate.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you.
We're also encouraged to see that State Board staffing back up again.
All right. Thank you for that.